Today's scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 13 and 18 through 20. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God during his section's turn of duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know this will happen? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occurred." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I know. Can we just say a grand thank you to our tech booth this morning? My friends, They have been through it today with things not working. So Alex and Keith, thank you so much for all you're doing to help our service be what it is. My name is Mindy Moore. I'm the campus pastor here at Midtown. I am so grateful that you're here. I'm so grateful that Kylie is my hype person. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, I want to take you back just a few days in our lives. I want to take you back to last Monday. Do you remember Monday? Do you remember what was happening on Monday? So Monday, it was a little snowy. It was a little snowy on Monday. Zach and I actually had an event that we had to go to on Monday night. And I want to tell you that when I picked Hazel up from school, my daughter up from school on Monday at like 4 o'clock, I thought, "Aw, this is really cute and magical." And I think I was like sitting in the car rider line listening to Christmas music, and I may have said out loud to no one, "It's so magical." Well, an hour and a half later, when we left for our event, it was not magical at all. How many of you commuted home on Monday night in that snowy, slick mess? Okay, it was awful. You can see the actual Google Maps evidence. This is a screenshot from that time of day. It was all orange and red. It was no good. But we found ourselves, as we tried to drive across town to this event, just hitting blocks of traffic. At one point, we were going down the road, and we could just see, like, the line of cars just stopped. And I said, "Do the U-turn, reroute, reroute." I mean, we didn't have the GPS on. I was the GPS. And so we would reroute, we would go somewhere else, and then we would hit the line of cars on that other way. It was like no matter where we went, we had to wait. We just had to accept that we weren't going to go anywhere fast. We were going to be late to this event that we were going to. And we could choose to be grouchy about it. We could choose to be upset. Or we could choose to just kind of accept, hey, this is what this is going to be. It is a snowy and slick night, and we are stuck in the car for a little bit longer than we want to be. So waiting, if you hadn't picked up on it already, it's the theme of this second week of Advent that we're looking at together. We're going to spend, for these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we're looking at themes from our senior pastor Rob Fuqua's book, On the Way to Bethlehem. Now, last week, we kicked things off, and we started with the themes of power and longing, and we started in Rome. We started in Rome because that was a place where a decree from an emperor that said, everyone's got to travel, everyone's got to get to their hometown so that we can do a census. This decree from this emperor had a massive impact on history. So that's where we started. And today we're moving to another location. Today we're moving to Jerusalem and the temple. And when we get to Jerusalem, we find not only the theme of waiting, but we find a man named Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is a character in the Bible that you may or may not be very familiar with. Zechariah is not showing up in your nativity scene. He was not there. I'm sorry. We don't see him in this place. But Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are actually super important to the Christmas story. They're actually part of Jesus' family. Elizabeth was cousins with Jesus' mom, Mary. And as you might have noticed in the scripture that Suzanne read for us, Zechariah had a very specific job. He had a very specific role in the community, and I would say just in what God was doing in the world. Zechariah was a priest. Now, by the time we meet Zechariah in Luke, he's a seasoned pro, okay? He's been doing his work for a long time. He's been faithful. He's been on this journey. And so people know Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's even recorded in scripture. This was a righteous couple. They were doing the right things. They were faithful people. But they were also known for something else. They were known for being the couple in town who hadn't yet had a child. See, in their context, this was an important thing. And this wasn't just something that would have made you unique, but this was something that might have made you actually an outcast. This was something, people used this word, you heard it in our scripture, it's a harsh word. They would use this word barren to describe the woman. People would ask, well, what did they do to end up in this circumstance? What was the sin they committed? What was the mistake that they made that God wouldn't bless them with children? So you can imagine what it was like to be Elizabeth and Zechariah at this time. To not only have this longing in your heart, but to have your community have quite a commentary on who you are and what's going on with your life. I think for Zechariah and Elizabeth, this probably created quite a relational barrier for them with their community. But I think whatever people thought about them, whatever stories were being told about them and their reality and why they were in the situation that they were in, the fact is these were two people that were very familiar with what it meant to wait on something. For so long, they'd been waiting on a child. And I have to tell you, as I read through their story for this week of this series, I got a little curious about what this process of waiting would have been like for them. I mean, because sometimes we wait for things, and it's a pretty short process. Sometimes it can be long and drawn out. And for Zechariah and Elizabeth, that was certainly true. This was a long, drawn-out wait. And so I just wondered for them, when did it change? Because I think probably when they first got married, they settled down, they thought, okay, we're going to have a baby, probably like a lot of babies. We're going to be like every other story that we're seeing in our community. And so they waited for that to come true and be their reality. I'd assume that after a while, after a few years, they thought, okay, this has taken a little bit longer than most of the people that we know, but we're still waiting, we're anticipating. But I think at some point for these two faithful people, maybe that weight shifted to almost like a resignation, to thinking, maybe this is just what our lives are. Maybe this is just how it's going to be. Maybe God isn't hearing what we're saying. Maybe God isn't actually present with us. Maybe our weight is actually going to be a permanent part of our lives. I wonder, too, if maybe you've been in a similar place to Zechariah and Elizabeth while you've waited on something. Maybe you found yourself in such an extended time of wait where it doesn't really make sense that you're waiting on that thing anymore. Maybe it actually feels kind of foolish that you're waiting and you're hoping. Maybe this period of waiting has made you feel like God is so far away from you. Maybe you could actually pinpoint that moment where your waiting changed from anticipation to that feeling of just wanting to give up. I guess here's what I want you to know. If you've been in that place, or if you're finding yourself in that place right now, there's actually a lot of hope for us in this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. There's some incredible ways that God's presence shows up for these two people. And the thing is, we might be kind of surprised what God's presence looks like, because I will name the tension for some of us in this story, and it's that they get what they're waiting for. They get the child. I know some of you are hearing this story and you're like, I am instantly frustrated by it because I've been waiting and God isn't giving me the thing. And so what does that mean? What does it mean for how God responds to us or interacts with us that we've got Zechariah and Elizabeth and we're happy for them? But what about when the story doesn't turn out quite that neat and tidy? What do we do with our waiting then? See, I think whether we are like Zechariah and Elizabeth, and we do see a clear resolution to the thing that we're waiting on, or whether we feel like our wait goes on forever, the hope in the story is that we can still experience God's presence. And I think what we can really learn from this story is that we can experience God's presence in a powerful way, even in the very middle of the time we're spending waiting. Because when we go to Zechariah's story and we look at this big experience that he has with God here, we have to understand that at that point when God shows up, nothing in his story has resolved itself yet. He hasn't had some big spiritual epiphany that brings him into this room in the temple. He might have honestly, as I look at Zechariah and I think about my own attitude toward these things, I wonder if he might have just been going through the motions a little bit. Like, his name got selected. He had to go into that place in the temple. He had to do his job. But we don't really know what he was feeling inside. We don't know if he was feeling deep faith or expectation. He just showed up to do what he had to do. I think there might even be a powerful lesson in that. That when we show up, when we do faithful things, that can make a huge difference for us. I mean, if you're anything like me, our faith is a very fluid thing that we carry. It's not always rock solid. It's not always growing. It's not always sure. But the invitation we get from Zechariah's story is that we can keep showing up no matter where our faith is. We can keep doing things like prayer, even if we don't know if God is listening or hearing us or if we're even praying to anyone at all. We can do things like show up in this space, even if we're not quite sure what we're supposed to get out of it or who we're going to sit with or what donuts are going to be available for the day. I mean, we can come to these places with doubts and uncertainty, but I think the big thing is that we just show up. We just make ourselves available for the Holy Spirit to encounter us. And I think when we show up, then God can show up too. And if you want to talk about someone who got surprised by how God showed up just because he showed up, I mean, I think Zechariah is a perfect example. So he's going into this room in the temple, and one thing we need to understand is that, like, this room was a big deal. Okay, most people didn't get to go into this room. So he's selected by a lottery process. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He walks in this room, and I don't know what he expected to see, but I can just about guarantee you he did not expect to see what was there. Let's see what the text says. The text says, he goes into this room, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. I want you to let yourself imagine that you're Zechariah for just like a second. Like, put on your imagination caps for just a moment. So you're Zechariah, and you're at this point in your life where you have prayed and prayed, you've waited, you've tried to be faithful, you've held on, you felt like God is silent, you might be feeling hopeless, you've shown up for work to do the thing, and you walk in the room, and there's an angel of the Lord. Okay, what would you feel in that moment? I mean, first of all, you might think, God, this is a very dramatic way to connect with me. Like, we just really wanted a baby. That was it. But here we have an angel of the Lord. And so Zechariah is overwhelmed in this moment. And I think rightfully so. I mean, it's weird. It's outlandish. It's not what he expected. And I know the angel looks at him and says, do not be afraid, which is like what angels say every single time they show up. And I'm like, maybe if this is what you're having to tell people, maybe the branding. I don't know. I don't know. Why are everyone always afraid of you? But Zechariah is afraid. He's terrified. And we get it. This isn't what he thought was going to happen. And yet here he is, feeling overwhelmed, having this angel tell him, Zechariah, all these dreams are about to come true. You're gonna have a baby. Guess what? I even named the baby for you. You're welcome, Zechariah. His name's gonna be John. He's gonna be special. It's gonna be a whole thing. And so Zechariah is taking this all in. And he doesn't know what to do with it. He certainly doesn't know how to believe it. Now, I have to tell you what happens next in this story. This is the struggle for me. This is my struggle with Luke 1. Because I get why Zechariah doubts. I do. I mean, he's been waiting so long. There's no reason to think that there would be hope anymore. And so he has some questions. But this angel is not very receptive to Zechariah's questions. In fact, when we hear that read, I hear the angel's tone of voice as being just a little bit annoyed and like trying to stay patient. Like, Zechariah, I came from God. I am here in the holy place. I'm trying to tell you the good news. You don't believe me. So, silence. Silence for Zechariah until his baby is born. And as I was putting this sermon together, I wondered, I was like, oh, do I need to try to resolve the tension I feel before we talk about this? I mean, guys, it's like Christmas time. That feels nice, right? We want to hear like a real warm and uplifting Christmas sermon. I'm not going to do that because, you know, if you've been around, that's not my way. We're going to sit in the tension with that. I don't understand why that was the angel's response to what seems like a perfectly reasonable reaction. I don't understand it. And I think maybe that's okay. I think maybe it's okay if we don't understand why silence all of a sudden became this really important part of Zechariah's waiting journey. Because I'm not sure when we think about silence if we have to fully understand it to find the value in it, to see how God can meet us there. Because when we encounter silence, either when it's from God or when it's from us, like we don't know the words, we don't have the words to say, I think inherently there is a lot of mystery in that. There's a lot of mystery in how God is going to work in the silence or work through our silence. But sometimes we don't need to have words in order to experience God's presence. One of the things I actually wondered about is maybe if this silence was like a gift to Zechariah. I don't know if you caught it when that scripture was read, but it said the whole assembly was waiting for Zechariah outside of that room. So, like, imagine all of you, you're all waiting for me to come out of the room. So you've got questions. You're like, Zechariah, what'd you experience in there? What did God have to say? Tell us more, tell us more, tell us more. Maybe it was a gift that he didn't have to try to explain this miracle to all these people who probably couldn't hold it with him. Maybe it was a gift that when he went back to his community, this community that had formulated rumors and speculation about this couple, they didn't have to try to explain away what God was up to. They just got to hold it and sit with it and have their questions and have their gratitude and have whatever it was that they were holding in that moment. And so maybe, even though this silence wasn't a choice that I think Zechariah would have made, maybe instead of all that noise, he gets to spend the next several months just listening to what God has to say, letting himself be formed into whoever God wants to make him to be. And maybe for us, maybe silence is a gift that we could use a little bit more of this Advent season. I know that silence isn't like an easy practice for a lot of us. I mean, I know it's really tempting to, from the moment we wake up to the minute we go to sleep, to have some kind of noise on in the background. You know, we wake up, we pick up our phones, we start to scroll. I got to see what happened while I was sleeping for 7 hours because something big might be going on, right? We start filling with the noise. We get in our cars. We turn on a song or a podcast. We go to a coffee shop. We're not alone. There's noise happening. We turn on the TV. I mean, it is so easy to escape silence. But I wonder maybe what we miss when we avoid it. In fact, sometimes I wonder with my own spiritual life, is the problem that I have that God's not speaking, or is it that I am still talking? Is it that I am so sort of beholden to noise and activity that I haven't made the space just to hear what the Spirit might be up to? You know, it's hard to get into that rhythm of silence. I think it's a pretty good call that most of us are not going to have an experience like Zechariah, okay? We're not going to walk into a room and have like an angel just chill in there and be like, hey, I'm here with a message. Like, that's not really what most of us are going to encounter. But I do think when we carve out that time for silence, that time to connect, we can hear from God in some really powerful ways. And I especially think in a season like Advent, I'm just going to name it, in a month like December, where I have spent so much time in my car, back and forth, shuttling kids to things, going to activities, putting on your nice sparkly sweater to go eat dinner with people. I mean, there's so much stuff to do. There's so much noise. This feels like the perfect time to try out something like a regular practice of silence. And so guess what, friends? We're going to try it together because that's what we do. And I know for some of us, this is going to be a little uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be like 2 whole minutes of silence. There are some of you in this room, it is going to feel like 20. If that's you, if this is an uncomfortable practice, I just want to invite you to embrace the discomfort. We're doing it together. You're like 120 people doing silence with you, okay? You're not alone. It's okay. You're here. But I want to invite you, as we do these kinds of practices, to like let yourself be comfortable, to let yourself exhale and inhale, and just get in a rhythm of breathing in this space. You probably will choose to close your eyes. You don't have to, but you can. You might choose to sit your palms on your legs with kind of like an open posture to receive. But as we go into this time of silence, I'm going to just put some questions in the space for you to reflect on. You can hold on to those questions. You can just like sweep them away if you'd rather do that. But I want to invite you to use this time to just be to be in God's presence, to listen, and to let the noise just calm itself down for a moment. So as we go into our time of silence, I want to invite you just to begin by maybe finding a word or a phrase or a picture of what you find yourself waiting on today. Now think, God, what would you have to say to me in my waiting? And finally, God, what might you be waiting on or hoping for me? God of the silence, God of the noise, God of the waiting and the realized, we ask that your Spirit would meet us wherever we are right now, whatever is on our hearts. God, let your presence be known to us. Let your hope dwell itself deep in our souls. And God, would you, this Advent season, just continue to take us by surprise in the ways that you show up, in the ways that you love us, in the ways that you meet us in our waiting moments. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.